This week, I've been chatting to Margaret on exam stress and your mental health. We're talking about why it's so important that students look after their mental health. What is mindfulness and how can students use this to improve their studying? Margaret has given us some practical steps that we can actually start implementing right away to practice mindfulness and preventing exam stress. So if you are someone that knows that maybe right now you could do with a little help on your stress levels, that you have some exam anxiety, grab a pen and paper, get jotting down some points from this podcast, and let's dive straight in. Welcome to the Stylish Study Show. I'm your host, Ella Harmony, the founder of Stylish Study. This is the podcast for the students who want to achieve their dream grades, have a clear guide to success, and level up to live their best life. I myself went from being miserable with failing grades to reaching my full potential and getting A stars. Today, I'm here to share with you everything I learned along the way, so let's dive straight into this episode. Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Stylish Study Show. So today we have a super exciting guest on and we are going to be talking all about exam stress, mental health, mindfulness. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi everyone, thank you so much for having me, Ella. It's great to be here, and I was just mentioning you to you before the show or before we started recording how great I think, how amazing I think everything you do is for young women. So I'm Magritte Steyn and I'm a wellbeing and mindfulness coach and teacher. And I work with women to help them to mindfully manage stress, anxiety and overwhelm so that they can create the space in their lives and in their minds to live a life of purpose, presence and ease.
I love that. And I think that on this podcast, we obviously talk about revision and everything, but how your mental health, your state of just being is so important to master so that then you can ultimately achieve better grades and get that result. Because if everything's kind of out of balance, you can't have success and you can't have work without your health at the forefront. So I love that we're going to be talking about this today. And it's something that is quite personal to me. I myself have struggled with anxiety throughout my whole life. I have been in that kind of panic attack state and I've had lots of therapy for it. And I feel like it's something that we should be really open about, and the more open that we can be about it, hopefully the less stigma will be attached. So I'm just really excited to be talking about this today. So the first question that I had for you is kind of just establishing why it's so important that students look after their mental health. I know I've sort of covered it a little bit, but I'd love to have your perspective on that.
Of course. So when I was growing up, I mean, I'm in my 40s now, but when I was growing up and as a teenager and a young adult, we didn't really talk about mental health. And I was never very academic. Mm-hmm. I personally didn't enjoy school. I was always tired. I remember always being tired as a child and a teenager. And we just didn't talk about it much, and we didn't talk about stress or the effect it might have on our mental health. So as a result, for me personally, I wasn't really equipped with the right tools or knowledge to look after my mental health properly when I became an adult. And this then led to negative relationships, you know, some toxic relationships, quite bad habits and behaviors that followed me into adulthood. And it took me a very long time to learn more about stress and the impact it had on me, and to understand why I was behaving the way I was, why I was feeling the way I was. It all had a knock-on effect on everything else in my life. Like, I think as young women, you know, our hormones impact us a lot, and I didn't really understand or know anything, so it just became this vicious circle for me. And I didn't understand it, I didn't have the right tools, and I wasn't equipped to deal with it when I became an adult. And I think for teenagers and especially young women, being aware of our mental health and how it's impacted by society, by stress or our personal circumstances, for instance, it's just really important, because we can then explore all the tools for yourself to look after your mental health and well-being. And I think these days, I think we are quite fortunate that we are talking about it more, and it's more recognized, and there are more tools coming out to help us along the way. And I just think it's, you know, it's, we have an opportunity to learn a lot more about it and to communicate more about it and to do something about it.
Definitely. I think the mental health kind of conversations that have been opening up, especially sort of over the last 5 years, have been really positive. And hopefully that anyone listening to this now is in a position where they feel that they can talk about their mental health. I know for me that when I started getting my anxiety, I was 11. I had just started secondary school and I felt really alienated because I guess it was my age and also that we hadn't kind of been having these conversations as much. I didn't know that when I was having a panic attack that I wasn't dying, that it was anxiety. I'd never kind of heard anyone talking about that. And yeah, at school for me, that was really alienating and I felt very different. And obviously it impacted my studies through not being able to go to class and not being able to take exams in kind of the traditional way of being sat in an exam hall. I had to kind of take them off to the side at some points and be in my own special room. And I think that if we can have those conversations about it now and we can feel open to discuss it, that then hopefully that it will be kind of less of a burden in people's lives if they can at least talk about it. And yeah, I think it's a very positive way, the way that we're going, but we still need to keep that conversation moving.
Absolutely. And it's also really, you mentioned about when you were having a panic attack and that you weren't dying. And I think that's a really important point because when we are feeling anxious or emotionally triggered, that is our body's stress response kicking in, and it's your body's way of keeping you safe. So your fight, flight or freeze response kicks in. So when you were saying, like, you know, your body goes, you think in that moment that you are unsafe.
Yeah.
And in the prehistoric ages when we were being chased down the lane by a lion or whatever, that was really useful in those circumstances to have that response and our adrenaline kicking in, and you know, because we either have to fight or flee. But these days it's not so helpful when we're in a situation at school and you're having a panic attack and you're feeling unsafe and your body's having this response and you don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, there was one kind of like poignant panic attack that stands out for me that I had at school. I mean, I've had my fair share. There was a point where I was having kind of like 3 a day at school, and luckily my school was really supportive. We had like mentors I could go to, and I kind of had like an out of class pass, which was really handy. But there was this one science lesson that I had, and I had a teacher who, he was lovely, but he just, I didn't feel totally safe with him. And there were some teachers that I felt like more safe with and that I felt fine in their lessons, and there were just some others that I wasn't too sure of, through no fault of their own. It was just me and my response to it. But I remember my anxiety is health anxiety, so anything that I'm very hyper aware of my body and my feelings, and when I have a panic attack I'm like, oh my god, I am dying, like this is it. I remember being sat in that science lesson thinking that I was having a heart attack, genuinely convinced myself that I was having a heart attack. And it's one thing to kind of go through that yourself, but then when you feel like you're in a classroom of everybody watching, that you can't sit still or be normal, or that I say be normal in like captions because you are normal, it's just something that like happens, unfortunately, and it isn't something that's strange, but it's not anything that anyone else that I knew at the time, especially at school, was going through. And it was like almost that anxiety of, okay, I feel really anxious, but now I'm also anxious that everybody is watching me, that everybody thinks that I'm different, that I now have to leave the classroom, which they don't have to do, that I have to see special people for this, I have to go to counselling, which at the time I didn't talk to anyone about because I still felt very kind of stigmatised about it. So at school for me, my anxiety was about a lot of different things, which was then multiplied by that. And that hopefully that we can kind of, like I said, have those conversations that makes it feel a bit more that you're not alone and that you're not alienated, because I know that school can definitely magnify that anxiety.
And I think, you know, the fact that you are able to recognize that in yourself, and you already have that self-awareness, which is amazing. And I wish I had that when I was your age, because I had no idea what it was. And, you know, we were told, you know, oh, you're being too sensitive, you know, you just need to get on with it, you just need to push through. You know, you've said yourself, there's a stigma attached to it, and there's a shame attached to it as well, especially if you're in that situation, you're having this physical reaction. And then on top of that, you have to worry about what everyone else is thinking about it. And that's just, yeah, the more we talk about this, the better, because I think there will be many people listening to this and just thinking, oh yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, if you are someone that is experiencing panic attacks at school and that you are finding that it's impacting your studying, definitely reach out, but also know that there are also other people. It's so funny to me that now I look back, and obviously I don't wish anyone to kind of experience these things, but it kind of became more clear and people started to talk about it as we got older. And there were actually around 4 or 5 people in my year group at school that I was having lessons with every day that were also experiencing the same thing that I was going through. But obviously none of us like knew, because we were all hiding it. And I feel like if I had learned about that earlier, and it was identified that, I mean, it doesn't have to be pointed out that it's exactly this person, because obviously it's a very personal thing. You may not want people to know that you're going through it, but just knowing that there were other people just made me feel more, I hate to use the word normal, because you are normal, but made me feel, yeah, I guess more normal at that time.
Yeah, more accepted, and it's just less, less isolated, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird one, because you kind of talk about so many things with your friends at school, but it's kind of, you feel like it's that one thing that you can't talk about. And I am so lucky that throughout my whole life, I've always had an absolutely incredible friendship group, and I've been able to share anything that I wanted to. And when I started to open up to them about it and tell them, it wasn't kind of like a, okay, now we're not going to be friends with you. It was, okay, like, how can I help you? Like, what is it that you need? I am so, so thankful that that was always my response within my friendship groups. And I know that that is not the same for everyone. Unfortunately, I know people that have kind of fallen out with groups over it, which is just heartbreaking. Like, honestly, like, if you're going through that and then people decide to not support you or kind of leave you because of it, it's horrendous. But it's not always going to be the case. And when you open up to people, that's a reflection of them rather than what you are going through and what you are experiencing. So if you are someone that is going through that anxiety and you are worried about opening up to your friends or letting people know, chances are the reaction is probably going to be good. And if it's not, then that is going to be a reflection of them rather than you and your circumstance.
Yeah, very often people will mirror back some insecurity or something that they're feeling in themselves, and you know, you might trigger a response in them, and it's not about you, it's something they are dealing with. And it's important for them to also then reach out and talk about it, because if you are triggering a response in somebody else when you share something quite vulnerable, then there's probably something going on for them as well. But my daughter is 13, so she's in year 8 at the moment, and I'm always trying to encourage her to talk about, so she also struggles with anxiety, and I am always encouraging her to talk about it to someone, if not to me, then somebody else. And again, like you said, she said they do talk about it quite a lot. And I think one thing I am kind of trying to say to her is also to be careful not to take on everybody else's anxiety on her, because she's also quite sensitive to other people's feelings, and it's easy for her to absorb it. So, you know, there has to be that balance between how much you share, which you should do, but also be careful of, or be mindful of how much of other people's feelings and anxiety you might be taking on yourself.
I think it's really interesting that you kind of mentioned that, because I think that that is something that as we go forward and people do talk more openly about things, it's amazing and that we should be sharing this, but also that you kind of have to set your personal boundaries to be like, okay, I am your friend, I am your support system, but I am not your therapist. Like, I cannot solve your problems for you. And that if you are the friend of someone that is really anxious, just encouraging them to seek proper support and professional help, because you cannot, like you said, you cannot take on everyone's burdens, because that will then burden you. So setting those boundaries and being a support, but not
being a crutch.
Yeah, so if you are someone that kind of has like an anxious friend and maybe they are sharing all their worries with you and you're finding it a bit overwhelming, that is fine to feel overwhelmed by that and then to feel anxious about that. And it is totally okay for you to step back and be like, look, I'm always here for you. Like, if you have something to talk about, then we can talk about it. But I really feel that it would be beneficial for you to reach out and find someone professional, because I don't feel like I can support you in that capacity that you need, and I can't be everything for you. And I think that I had some kind of like conversations with teachers about that actually when I was at school, to know your role and to know that your role is to be a friend and their support, but not their everything and not their professional help, and to keep those kind of boundaries.
That's really, really important. Yeah.
So we've kind of talked a little bit about mental health and looking after your mental health, but what are some tools that our students can use to actually help improve their mental health? Maybe if they're feeling a little bit low or a little bit anxious right now, what would you suggest?
So as a wellbeing and mindfulness coach and teacher, I think for me, mindfulness is definitely at the top of my list of tools. In my view personally, I think mindfulness is the answer to everything.
Yeah.
And I just think from my personal experience, it's the one thing that really helped me to have a good relationship. I'm not going to say reduce stress, because I don't necessarily believe that the goal isn't to reduce stress or have less stress. I think the goal is to have a better relationship with stress, because stress is an inevitable part of life. So for me, the best tool to use to have a good relationship with stress is mindfulness.
I love how you kind of touched on the fact that there will be stressful times, because I think that on this podcast, we talk a lot about social media and how that's kind of impacted how we view ourselves as students, because I think it's a massive thing about how humans view themselves now. And you can often see that people are living this absolutely perfect life where they're just positive vibes all the time, just chilling out. And I definitely think that it's not realistic, and it can help our mental health to realize that at some points you are going to be anxious, at some points you are going to be stressed, and they're just natural human emotions. Like, things are going to crop up, but learning then how to deal with that and how to kind of process it in the healthiest and best way is something that I think is a more positive way to lead the conversation, rather than just saying you're never going to get stressed again and this is how you do it.
Yeah, and that's unrealistic. And I also think you know, stress can at times be a good thing. Sometimes we need a little bit of pressure. Sometimes we need those deadlines. Sometimes we need a bit of competition, healthy stress and healthy competition to get things done, or to reach our goals, or to get through a difficult situation. But it's about recognizing what is in your control and what isn't. And it's also about recognizing how you might be contributing or creating stress in your life and taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And then it's also about harnessing stress in a way that can serve you. So if you know you're somebody who needs a deadline, I need a deadline, otherwise I'll just procrastinate. So I know that I need to set myself deadlines to get things done, but I also know that I have a tendency to bring too much, or you know, to take on too much, and then it's not healthy. But I know if I focus on one project or one thing at a time, and I give myself a deadline, I have something to work towards, and then promise myself a reward or something at the end of it, you know. So I know how to manage my stress in a way that it works for me, if that makes sense.
I think that's something that is, if we can start to implement these things now as younger people, it's going to really help us for the rest of our lives, because there's always going to be kind of a stress going on, or there's going to be something that maybe we need to turn that stress into a positive. But learning how to deal with it and how to channel those energies into good things, I think will only benefit us as we kind of grow up and get older, and the way that we learn to manage it earlier will hopefully stick with us for the rest of our lives. So you talked about mindfulness. So what is mindfulness, and how can this be used as students, and how can they implement that into their studying?
So mindfulness, in simple terms, is the process of becoming aware of your present moment experience without judgment or criticism. So if you have a tendency to think a lot about the past, so you remember a lot of stuff or ruminate about stuff that's happened in the past, or you worry a lot about the future, then mindfulness is a great tool to just pause, and it stops yourself. It kind of brings you back to the present moment. And the best way to do that is to focus on your breath for a few minutes. And then when you start to notice your mind wandering, which you will, because it's designed to do that,
yeah,
then you just notice it without judgment or criticism, and you just gently bring your mind back to the present moment. I like to think about it as a balloon on a string, like a helium filled balloon. Mm-hmm. So imagine the balloon attached to your head by, yeah, a string, and it kind of flies about and it goes off on its own, yeah, and then but just it, every now and then you just kind of take the string and just gently pull it back, and you just kind of focus on the balloon for a moment, and then, you know, it will go again.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to studying and revising, then mindfulness is a way to just, it improves your mental clarity and your focus, because the more you do it, the more you practice mindfulness, the easier it will become to catch yourself when your mind starts to wander and bring it back. It becomes quite an easy process to do,
yeah,
because we can't stop ourselves from thinking. A lot of people, there's this misconception that mindfulness or meditation is a way to stop your brain from thinking, but that's impossible.
Yeah.
So what mindfulness does is I like to see it as, it's like taking a mini holiday from stress. even if you just practice mindfulness or meditate, whatever mindfulness way works for you, you just pause for 5 or 10 minutes, or even 2 minutes. You just literally, you take a mini break from stress.
I had to actually practice this a lot without actually knowing that it was mindfulness. Actually, looking back now, I had to practice it during my exams and leading up to my exams, because my anxiety over taking the exams got in the way of my mental clarity of being able to actually write the answers down. I was so kind of focused on my anxiety that I had to kind of do my square breathing and take some time out and just sit in that exam hall with my like thoughts, but try to take a break and get my mind back in that kind of, okay, I need to actually write these answers down, and I need my mind to be clearer for me to be able to do that. Otherwise, I'm just going to write a whole essay about how I'm feeling right now, which is not what they want to hear on my sociology exam. That was something that I really had to practice, but without knowing that it was mindfulness. It was something that my therapist had talked to me about, without actually telling me that it was mindfulness. But if anyone is kind of going through that exam stress, or they know that they get in an exam and all they're focused on is, oh my goodness, I'm so stressed, how do I work this out, trying to actually use mindfulness was so helpful for me to actually kind of unblock my thoughts from all of that and get my mind back into that place that I needed to be.
Yeah, I always say it's like swimming through treacle when you're feeling really anxious. It's almost like your brain is so clouded with just gunk, and
yeah,
or, you know, the saying, you can't see the wood for the trees, and mm-hmm. you know, because everything's just too much, and you just can't get out of this mental fog almost.
Yeah.
And mindfulness is a really good way of just clearing that out. Another analogy is like you know, like rain on a car windscreen, mm-hmm. and the wipers just, you know, then you can see again. And mindfulness can include different things. Like it could be meditation. It could be journaling. You were saying about, you know, writing an essay, which isn't useful on your sociology exam, but when you got home and just journaling about how you're feeling is a great way to just get your thoughts out of your head. But when you journal, when you write things down, it's a way to put it into perspective as well, because when it's all jumbled up in your head, you can't make any sense of it. And then when you write it down, it almost becomes, it's a way of unraveling your thoughts. Yeah. And then other things you can do is just getting outside in nature. What you could do is when you're feeling particularly anxious, or this is really good for panic attacks as well, is you could do the five senses exercise. So you, when you're outside, just notice what you can see, the colors, you know, what you can smell, what you can hear, if you can hear dogs barking, if you can hear the birds, if you can hear water in a stream, what you can taste, which is a bit more difficult if you're out and about, or, you know, what's the one I haven't mentioned?
Smell.
What you can smell, And then other things like being creative, you know, doodling is a really, I doodle all the time. I find doodling just is a really way, good way to calm me as well. You can do things like origami, or making jewelry, or anything that just focuses the mind on what you are doing at the moment. And even things like doing yoga, or if yoga's not your thing, going for a run is also a way of practicing mindfulness. So there are lots of different ways, and we're all different, and, you know, just try a few different things that work for you. When my daughter was younger and I first got the Headspace app, and I gave it to her and I said, just do like a quick 2-minute meditation. And she, after about 30 seconds, she took it out, she took the earphones out, and she just went like, "Mom, this is too boring." I just thought, that's the point. But she was about 8 at the time. It didn't really work, but she's very creative. She draws, and that's just a way for her to, every night before bed, you know, she just spends some time drawing. She draws anime and things like that. And it's her way of practicing mindfulness.
Yeah, when I was kind of feeling really stressed, and my mum was like, "Ella, you kind of like need some distractions," especially when I used to sit and worry in the evenings. I feel like that's when all my thoughts would come about. She bought me those, they're like the mindfulness colouring books, and I would just sit and colour and colour. And another one that I absolutely loved was those, they were a big thing on TikTok, those little diamond art things where you'd get like this little like stick and you'd pop the diamonds on and it would make a pretty picture. I spent hours and hours doing them. They were really satisfying. So yeah, definitely like having those distractions and those outlets, because otherwise you're just so focused on how you feel, and sometimes getting away from that and having something in your mind it really definitely helped me.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've talked a little bit about practicing mindfulness, but was there like one kind of way that you could start to practice mindfulness if you've just finished this podcast episode and you're like, right, I'm going to start doing mindfulness now? What is the one way that you would recommend to get started with it?
So I think for me, the one thing, or my favorite way of practicing mindfulness, is definitely meditation. So I'm up to 3 times a day now as a minimum. But you can, you know, meditation, you don't need, like, you don't need to sit in meditation for 10 hours at 5 o'clock in the morning until you start to levitate. That's not what it's about. You can meditate while you are waiting for the kettle to boil. You can meditate in the shower. You know, just taking a few minutes to just focus on your breath. Or, you know, you can download the Headspace app, which is free. There are other tools as well you can use, but just literally just sitting still and just closing your eyes for a few minutes and just take a few deep breaths. And you can always place your hand on your heart as well, because that's a way to just, so it kind of just brings your mind into your body. And you know, just do some deep breaths and just do a little scan of the body, just to notice if there's any discomfort, if you feel anything that's not feeling quite, perhaps your back is hurting a little bit, or you might be feeling, sometimes when I feel anxious, it's like my breath catches in my diaphragm and like I can't get enough air into my lungs. So when that happens, I just sit and I just take a few deep breaths and I just make sure I almost breathe into the area where I'm feeling that discomfort, and I just try to ease that area without judgment. Like, don't try to analyze it, just notice it. Or if you're on the bus on your own, you know, just stick your earphones in and just close your eyes and do some breathing. Or just notice things, you know, around you. What can you see? What can you hear? Anything that just brings you into the present moment is really good.
It's really interesting that we talk about all these techniques, because they're very similar to what I kind of learned myself to get out of a panic attack. But I also want to highlight that even if you're not an anxious person, even if you don't deal with these anxieties and you can go through exams feeling okay, that these are great things to practice anyway, that you don't have to be someone that is struggling with things to get into mindfulness and to feel the benefits of it. I can go for like a couple of days without having a panic attack, but I still practice these things because they make me feel good and because they help my mind so much. I know, obviously, I am a bit of an anxious person, but I know that my dad, for example, he is really big into mindfulness. He introduced me actually to the Headspace app, and he's not necessarily an anxious person, but he likes to practice these things because it just makes him feel better. It's kind of like that thing of exercise, like it just makes you feel good. And these are just things that you can practice without having to have any kind of worries or anxious thoughts.
So somebody recently asked me why I practice mindfulness, because they didn't really see the point. And I was about to go into my usual explanation of what it is and what the benefit is. But what actually popped out of my mind, or what popped out of my mouth, was because my brain likes it.
Yeah.
And because I notice when I go for a period of time without practicing mindfulness, I start to get irritable, I start to get snappy, my body starts to feel uncomfortable, I start to get achy, my shoulders start to hurt. So I notice very, very quickly now when I've not been practicing mindfulness, you know, and I just keep going back to it. And you were saying as well, like your dad was saying, it's like exercise. Just like you exercise your muscles when you go to the gym or whatever, you know, weight training, or you exercise your muscles, the brain is a muscle. And yeah, the more you practice mindfulness, the easier it, you know, you practice your brain, the muscle, and it becomes easier over time.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just generally contributed to helping me have a more positive and fulfilling life. Before, I wasn't someone that was into kind of mindfulness, and now I make sure that I do some kind of meditation session at least 3 or 4 times a week. And I normally find them kind of like on YouTube, or I do use the Headspace app. And I just, yeah, like you said, notice such a difference in my outlook and just generally my day-to-day life that I would encourage everyone to do it, whether you are an anxious person, whether you're going through exams, whatever stage of your life you're at. I don't think that there are going to be any negatives to it ever.
No, there's also a really good thing you can do. I don't know if you're familiar with binaural beads. So binaural beads, it's basically sounds. It's just a very repetitive rhythm, but it's, I don't know the details around it, so don't quote me on this, but it basically affects different brain waves in your brain. So when you are revising or doing your homework or just sitting still for 10 minutes, just pop your earphones in, and on Spotify or whatever you're using, just search for binaural beads. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very, I do it when I need to write something, a blog post, or when I'm feeling my brain's a bit foggy and I can't focus, I just pop some binaural beats on, and it's just a way to just focus your mind, and it's that's a really useful thing to do. When I was a child, we were told to listen to Baroque music when we were revising, because again, Baroque music is just it's got a very calming effect on you.
I haven't heard of that, but I will definitely be checking it out, because I would love to listen and learn more about what I can do to kind of improve my mind. So I think this is going to be kind of something that anyone that's feeling anxious would really love to know kind of your opinion on, and maybe you have some steps for them. But what is a way that someone who is feeling like they could do with some help and are feeling stressed and feeling anxious, how can they ask for that help. I know that a lot of the time it's so much easier to bottle it in until you get to the point where you just kind of explode. How could you advise someone to kind of open up if they're feeling this way and they identify that they could do with some help?
I think if it's possible at school, definitely reach out to your head of year, or, you know, if you don't feel comfortable going to speak to somebody, perhaps ask a parent to try and you know, speak to the school to see if they can help you in any way. If you can't speak to a parent, and I get it, when I was a teenager, I definitely couldn't speak to my parents about it, but I had a friend, my best friend's mum, I could open up to, and I always shared a lot more with my best friend than with my own parents. So if you have a friend's parent, if you just try to identify somebody you can trust and open up to. I know it's hard sometimes. If not possible, then there are helplines you can call as well. But I think it's so important for you to, like you say, try not to bottle it up. And then there are other things as well that are really important. And if my daughter listens to this is the point where she'll roll her eyes. But getting enough sleep is really, really, really important. Getting enough sleep is really important. And allowing yourself enough time to revise as well, not leaving things till the last minute. This is definitely something I'm guilty of, even as an adult. But yeah, so definitely, and something, you know, other things like making sure you, especially during times of exams, perhaps just try and cut down on sugar.
Yeah.
Look at your diet, and just, you know, I think it's important to remember to, there comes a point where you need to take responsibility for your mental health as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, reaching out for help and doing things yourself to help your mental health is important.
Yeah, definitely. I think that oftentimes you think about health and it's just your physical health, but obviously your mental health is as equally important. And going to the doctors about your mental health is just as valid as if you go to the doctors about a sprained wrist, or if you go to the doctors about whatever you go to the doctors about. But your mental health is as valid all the time as your physical health, and oftentimes you get physical symptoms, so it's definitely worth reaching out and getting some help. Even I know sometimes that people have put stuff in letters if they don't want to kind of have that conversation. Maybe that conversation feels a bit intimidating. Writing just a letter about how you feel and kind of passing it on to someone. Those are some other ways that you can kind of reach out for help without maybe it being as intimidating as kind of having that first initial conversation. So now we have a question from one of our Stylish Study followers who would really love to know, how can we help relieve some of that stress that you get the night before an exam?
So you mentioned already about doing breathing exercises. So the box breathing is a really good one. So how that works is you inhale for 4 seconds, and then you hold for 4 seconds, you exhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, and you do that a few times until you start. And it doesn't have to be 4 seconds, it can be whatever works for you. You just play around with it and find your own way. Listening to binaural beats, that's a good way to just calm your nerves as well, because the last thing you want to do is be still up revising at 2 o'clock in the morning before exam.
Yeah, we always kind of say that the night before your exam should really be that kind of first night off type thing. So if you need to do a little bit of active revision, if you need to do a tiny bit of flashcard going over or whatever, that should kind of be an hour to half an hour maximum, and that the rest of the night should just be prioritizing yourself and how you feel.
I think have a nice bath, put a face mask on, cuddle your cat. That for me, I've got 3 cats, and my poor cat, whenever I feel stressed, my cats, I'll just get them all and just cuddle my cats. Or a dog, you know, I think pets are a really good way to calm us down. Just do whatever you need to do. I think self-care is so important, so especially before a big exam the night before, just do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. And that, if that means you can't see friends, if that means you just want to be on your own, and that's okay.
I think we could kind of give an answer, but it's going to be different for everyone, as we're kind of all deal with these things in totally different ways. And like you said, however you deal with it is valid, and that's your way of dealing with it. And being able to recognize how you deal with it, I think, is an amazing step. And if you know what works for you, maybe you're still in that kind of trial period, but if you know what works for you, then that is a massive achievement all in itself. I just want to thank you so much for being an amazing guest on this podcast. I've had such an amazing time talking about all these things. I personally myself love mindfulness, and I think it will benefit all our listeners so, so much. And it is a real integral part of being a student. For anyone that wants to find out more about you, or that maybe wants to hear more about you, how can they find you?
So I'm on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Magritte_Stain. I don't have a website yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still procrastinating on it. But yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, then I share lots of tips on mindfulness in there. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And again, I think it's amazing what you're doing. And good luck for everyone, you know, going through exams at the moment or in future. And yeah, you'll be great. You've got this.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. It's been amazing, and I can't wait for everyone to be a bit more mindful in their life.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think by leaving us a review. And for more fun, make sure you follow us on our socials at stylishstudy_ and head to stylishstudy.com/free-ebook. That's stylishstudy.com/free-ebook for your free guide to grade boosting success. Catch you next week.